Here we read from Hebrews 11 and the verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 3, and we trust and pray the Lord will take his own precious word, that he will write it and inscribe it upon all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Here we're coming to this great chapter, as I mentioned previously, known as the great chapter of faith. Now, in the book of Romans and Galatians, the Apostle Paul uses the words, "the just shall live by faith," to show how that men and women are justified by God. Job asked the question, how can a man be just with God? God is holy, he is righteous, he is perfect, he is just. Man is sinful, he is depraved. How can man therefore know God and be accepted by God? And that, of course, is on the grounds of the Savior's work, what Christ has done. It's on the grounds of justification. The just shall live by faith. It is by faith in Christ alone that any man or woman or young person is brought into that right relationship and standing before the Lord. When we look at this chapter here, a good way, I suppose, of looking at it is to view it a bit like if we're looking at it as a sermon on faith. Here, when you think of this sermon on faith, if you turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 38, here we find that God's servant here announces his text. So he announces his text that he's going to speak upon. And if we could use that text in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith." So he's going to speak here about men and women who lived a life of faith. He then introduces the subject in the latter part of chapter 10. For instance, speaking here in the verse 36 where he says, "For ye have need of patience. After that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." We all have need of patience, don't we? Ye have need of patience. And basically, as God's servant there was speaking about this subject, and he announces this theme in this text, he then draws our attention to show us men and women, great servants of the Lord, who were examples of that life of faith. He develops the sermon. There is the explanation of the life of faith in verse 1 in Hebrews 11 here through to verse 3. What is faith? "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Then he gives great examples of the life of faith. He gives us great illustrations. Here we have Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, great servants of the Lord. And what example we have as we think about faith and what it is for the child of God to live as a Christian and to live that life of faith. Here we have wonderful examples. There's much for our instruction, for our learning. When we consider them, then not only do we have these great servants of the Lord and the examples that they've been, but we have their exploits of the life of faith. In other words, those great accomplishments. And we're talking about things that seem to be impossible. But praise God, with the Lord all things are possible. You think of how the children of Israel, leaving Egypt, came to the borders there. They came to the edge of the Red Sea. How were they going to get through? It was impossible. But the Lord made a way. God is able to make a way when there seems to be no way whatsoever. We also have not only their exploits, but we think of how these servants of the Lord, how they persevered, how they continued, how they endured, how they pressed on despite the difficulties, despite the obstacles and all that lay before them. You think also of the expectation of the life of faith. In other words, what is it that kept them going? When you think of Abraham, he looked for a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is the Lord. You see, one of the great characteristics and themes here with these servants of the Lord is, whilst there were problems and difficulties and there were lots of obstacles, their eyes were upon the Lord constantly. They knew what it was to rest in him. Here we come in verse 30 in this chapter to one of the great exploits in the life of faith. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. This passage, of course, based upon the biblical, the historical account in Joshua chapter 6, and how the Lord gave the victory at Jericho. And this morning, we're going to look at this verse under the heading of facing our own Jerichos. Facing our own Jerichos. First of all, consider with me here the problem that the people faced. I think it's really important that right from the word go here as we consider this verse, that we're considering and we're looking here at servants of the Lord, the children of Israel, who at this point in time were seeking to go on with God. They're seeking to go forward. They're striving to obey the Lord. They're desiring that they might know the Lord's blessing and that they might go in and that they might inherit the land as God had promised. And so here we're reading about those who at this point are walking in obedience. Between verse 29 and verse 30, there is a 40-year gap. And it's very easy to read the verses and not really to make that connection. Look at me at verse 29 where we read, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. So here the children of Israel, and they're going through the midst. They're walking on that sea floor, walking on that bed. The Lord has parted the waters. They're walking through the midst. And we read here, which the Egyptians are saying to do, we're drowned. And so we have the waters then closing in upon the Egyptians. They weren't able to pass over, but the Lord brought his people through. But now we're reading about the walls of Jericho. So between these two verses, you have the 40-year period, the gap, where the children of Israel walked around in the wilderness for that particular period of time. But here is a new day, a new dawn. And in a sense, it's a new beginning. It's under Joshua now that the people are being led and they receive their leadership. It's under Joshua that Jericho is going to be captured and eventually destroyed. Now, Jericho was a very important city. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Jericho was strategic. It wasn't a very large city. And we can draw that conjecture because the children of Israel here, they were able to march around the walls of that city 7 times on the last day. So it certainly couldn't have been that big. It certainly is a very well-fortified city, one of the oldest cities. Jericho was said to have walls that were some 25 feet high. They were over 20 feet thick. Now you can imagine those sorts of walls. They were huge. So as we read about the children of Israel here, and under Joshua coming against the walls of Jericho, they're coming to a tremendous problem. It seems insurmountable. It seems as if there's going to be no way that they can face this and make any progress. Here they're seeking to go on their journey. They're seeking to go in and to inherit the land. And now they're faced with a problem. So it's important that we understand that. Because as we seek to go on with the Lord, as we seek to go forward, as we seek especially to go forward in the work of God, we will encounter problems. We will face obstacles. I had, during my first year at Bible College in Whitfield, which was 1992, I had a really good time of health. In fact, when it came to the summertime, I remember very clearly asking me, well, how's your health been, you know, during the past year in Bible College? It's been tremendous. In fact, I haven't really been sick at all. I don't think I've missed a day. It's been wonderful. Well, the words were only out of my mouth, and things changed. I was admitted to hospital during that summer recess, during that summer time off. I became very sick in hospital. I can mind there lying in the hospital ward yet in the city tower block and been given some news about my health and medical procedures and, you know, things that were going to change my life for good, not just for a moment, but for a long time. There I was lying and thinking about things and seeking to reason things out. And this is what we try to do. Lord, I'm trying to serve you. It's not as though I'm living in disobedience. Lord, I want your best in my life. I want to be able to complete the course. I believe you've called me to missionary work. Lord, I want to do my best for you. Why has this happened? Why is this allowed? And yet the Lord was teaching me some very, very needful and important lessons. He was teaching me especially about faith and about trust. Taking me aside to stress that above all, What comes first above everything is a personal walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. It's important to serve, and it's important to labor, and it's important to work. Above all of that, first of all, before the Lord has our hands and our head and all those things, that he has our heart and that we love him. Well, here were God's people, and they faced this problem. In the book of Numbers, we read about the first time when the spies were sent out under Moses to the land of Canaan. They came back with a report, didn't they? That the cities, that they were walled, they were very great. Moses, the problem is too big. The enemy's too great. We'll never be able to make progress. And in fact, what we find was that the hearts of the people, they were filled with fear and unbelief. And instead of going forward in the will of God and inheriting their possession, their land and their possessions, they turned back. They focused, you see, upon the greatness and the enormity of the problems. Here we find in this portion here that's mentioned, the walls of Jericho coming down, we find that this is now the second time that the walls have been faced. The problem, therefore, was no new one. See, oftentimes we like to think we're the only people to experience a certain thing. Why have you allowed this, Lord, to happen to me? And we begin to be filled with self-pity. We are not the only ones to face those problems, those obstacles, those difficulties. There is no temptation but such as is common to man. Here we find that as they came to this problem, the walls of Jericho, and what a tremendous problem it was. Look with me, please. We'll just turn back briefly to Joshua and to the chapter 6. And here in Joshua chapter 6, and the verse 1 we read, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. But here as they came to this problem, we find that they overcame that problem as one and together. And they faced the problem with that unity and that purpose of heart. Of course, that's a great lesson for us all. In our own lives, and in our family homes, in church life, this is how we overcome problems. This is how we deal with the obstacles. And there are many obstacles. Of course, the devil doesn't want us to go on with God. He doesn't want us to serve the Lord. He doesn't want us to make progress. Jericho was inhabited by people who were living in total disregard and disobedience to the Lord. They did not know the Lord. They did not want the Lord. It's very clear about that. Look with me here at verse 31. It tells us here about Rahab, who was in the city there. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Notice what it says. She perished not with them that believed not. So here was a city, and that was full of unbelief and full of unbelievers. They did not love the Lord. They did not want God. And they resisted the Lord. They're opposed to any progress the children of Israel will make. They're opposed to the work of God. And we'll find that out there in the world, that there are many people who are opposed to progress of God's work, who will stand unreservedly against holiness and righteousness and truth, and will seek to oppose us, and will continue to oppose us. Here we find that the walls of Jericho, it is a picture, isn't it, of the opposition of the world against the Lord and to his cause. The world in which we live is still anti-God, against the gospel. And despite that very fact, the Lord would have us to face that. And he would have us to stand against that and to make progress and to go forth. I wonder, is there a man or woman, a young person here today? And as we read about the city of Jericho here, here is the children of Israel coming to this city. They find that the doors and the gates of the city, they're closed, they're shut. They won't let God's people in? Is there someone like that today? And your heart is opposed and closed to the things of God. You will not have the Lord Jesus, this man, to reign over you. You're determined that you're going to keep the door of your heart shut, that you're not going to bow the knee to Christ. I want to warn you very solemnly today. The people in Jericho who rejected the Lord in his cause, they perished in their sin. Friend, I want to warn you as best I can that if you feel and you reject Christ and you feel to have him Lord of your life, then you will perish. The walls of Jericho came down. I wonder, can we liken those walls to the walls of your heart today? No place for the Lord. The problem that the people face, moving along here, we also find the promise to favor them. For here we read that the Lord gave to his people a promise. Isn't it great that whenever we're faced with problems in our lives, you know, and you might say, well, life for me is going really well. I haven't got many problems. It's just been one blessing after another. Well, I have news for you. You're going to face some problems. That's life. We all face difficulties. We all have our, not only our good times and our good days, but difficult times. But here in Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 2, we read about here in verse 1 about how that Jericho is closed against the Lord. But verse 2, the Lord says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, how important it is, how vital, child of God, how needful for each one of us that when trials come, troubles come, problems come, difficulties, opposition comes, you know what we do? Get a word from God. How vital that is. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And the Lord is saying, Joshua, I've given you the victory. I've given you Jericho. Now, at that moment in time, Jericho is still opposed to the Lord. But here we have the promise of God. And what a promise. Child of God, let me say, you can rest four square wholeheartedly upon the promise of God, because God's promises do not and will not fail. What God has promised, he will deliver. He has promised, hasn't he? I will build my church. And despite the opposition, and despite the rejection, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, they shall not prevail against it. What heart, therefore, as we think of the season of work with the young people, with the children, you know, the nursing homes, all the various parts of the ministry here. Bethany, what heart we can take knowing that the Lord will save. With confidence that God's work will go forward. Here we have the Lord's promise. As we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, we have the assurance the victory has been won. That victory was wrought and it was won by the precious blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus has secured that victory. You and I do not have to be paralyzed or stopped by the power of a defeated foe, a defeated enemy. We can and we ought to know victory through Christ. We often talk about the will of God for our lives. And knowing that will, God's perfect will for our lives, and certainly the will of God for every single Christian, is that we're holy. The Lord tells us in his word that we are to be sanctified. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And the Lord would have us to be more like him, more set apart unto him. And here is certainly the will of God for your life and for mine, that you and I might walk in victory and that we might know blessing. That's what the Lord desires for us. Here we find that in Jericho, despite the hardness here, of the people. Despite the very fact that they've heard about the Lord, they've known what he did at the Red Sea, for instance. We read about that in Joshua 6. They were full aware of the great deliverance God had given. They knew that God was able to do the impossible. And yet despite that very fact, they rejected the Lord. But take heart, child of God, because there in Jericho, the Lord had Rahab and her family. He had a people he was going to redeem, draw to himself. And here as you read Hebrews chapter 11, and you know, we're reading about great men and women of faith, aren't we? You know, Sarah, Moses, Noah, tremendous servants of the Lord, giants of the faith. And then numbered amongst all of that group, we have this woman by the name of Rahab. Look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And you notice that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, includes the detail that she was a harlot. And that's so that we might understand and grasp that here is someone who was right down in the very depths of sin. She was so far away from God. And yet the Lord brought her to himself. What a tremendous blessing. Here, it's as if the Lord's saying, well, child of God, as you think about living your Christian life, your life of faith, and you seek to live that life daily, think about Abraham and how he persevered. Think about Moses and his work and the Lord setting him aside. Think about the likes of David and of Samson, etc. But you see, when you've done all of that, the Lord's as if he's saying, now let me just see here. I'm just going to reach into my treasure bag. And he takes up this precious jewel. And it's as if the Lord's saying, now listen, look at this jewel here. Look at Rahab. What's this precious jewel as I turn it round? See the glimmer. See the sparkle. Here's my grace. Here's my part to save. It's tremendous, isn't it? To think that the Lord has a people he will save. The promise to favor them. Child of God, as we seek to serve the Lord and go forward with the Lord, and we're met with opposition from the world and by those who would seek to oppose the work of God, we have God's promise that he will bless. There's also here the plan that they followed. Now, this plan seemed unusual, didn't it? You'll notice what they were not to do. In Joshua chapter 6, we read about how the Lord instructed his people how they were to wait upon him, how that was by faith that the walls would come down. But he reminds them it's not by human wisdom. It's not by the very fact that they had a military army. It wasn't because of their numbers. It wasn't because of their strategy, their warfare. It wasn't to do with any of those factors. It was all to do about the Lord, how he would give the victory. In Joshua chapter 6, and here as the Lord was speaking to his people, in the verse 10, we read, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. And here you have this picture. Great problem, tremendous. The walls of Jericho. And the Lord was saying to his people, now, for each of 6 days, you're going to walk around the walls just one time. That's making 6 times in total. Then the seventh day, you're going to march around the wall 7 times. That'll be 13 times. But as the people there, as they're watching and as they're walking around the walls, you know what they're not to do? They're not to speak. They're not to murmur. They're not to complain. You could just imagine, couldn't you? There's maybe someone and they're disheartened, they're discouraged, they're focusing on the walls and they're walking around, they're thinking to themselves, well, how are these walls ever going to come down? How is this ever going to be accomplished? How will progress ever be made here? And then they would turn to the one beside them and they would share those thoughts, those feelings. What would happen? They would then become discouraged. So the Lord said, there's to be no murmuring, no speaking, no complaining. There's a great lesson there for us all, isn't there? That by faith we simply trust God. Souls are not easily won to Christ. We live in a day and generation, don't we, where men just don't have time for God. And yet the Lord would call us to go out, to face those problems, and to wait patiently upon Him. We're reminded of that in Psalm 37 and the verse 7. We're also reminded that as the Lord spoke to His people about getting into the promised land, we haven't time to turn to it, but you'll read about it there in Exodus chapter 23, verse 30, where it tells us the Lord said, by little and little I drive them out. And oftentimes that's how progress is made in the work of God. It's made slowly. It's little step by little step. But the reality is we're going the right direction. And so we're not to become focused on the problem. We're not to talk about the problem. The people here were not to talk about the problem. They were to focus upon the Lord. They were to get their vision and their eyes upon Him, the God who is able to do the impossible. They were brought to a point where the Lord was saying to them, you can't solve this problem, but I can. You see, the Lord brought them, in a sense, to an end of themselves where they would recognize it's not who we are, it's not by what we do. It's simply by obeying God, following His instructions, living in obedience to Him, that brings a blessing, that brings a victory, and so it does in our lives. That's what we need, to walk faithfully, waiting upon God. In closing, just very quickly, we also see here the provision of their faith. What actually came about as a result of the servants of the Lord here, of Joshua, the children of Israel, waiting upon God, following His divine commandments? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Oh, it was a strong city. It had great walls. It was an impossibility, but not to the Lord. The conquest sets forth the power and the glory of God. Now, turning just very briefly to Joshua chapter 6 here, the verse 20, we'll see the order of events as the Lord gave the victory. And if it were left to ourselves, we would reverse the order. But the Lord here is very clear about the divine order. Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 20, we're reading here about the last time when they walked around the walls. So the people shouted when the priests drew with a trump, when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The trumpets were blown. The people shouted. The walls fell down. That was the order here. So in other words, the thought is here. Before the walls came down, their faith was in the Lord, that God had given them the victory. And they entered into the blessing of that victory. If we were to order the events, we would have it the opposite way around, wouldn't we? The walls coming down, the people shouting, great shout. And then the priest blowing and trumpeting and praising God. But here we find that the people praised the Lord and they give thanks to God that He was faithful and He had given them the victory. You see, wholeheartedly, unreservedly, they expected God to work. Is that the faith we have? Do we expect God to work? Do we anticipate the Lord to work? We ought to. He's able. Or as we look out today, we could look out in society and view it like the great city of Jericho. Seems an impossibility to reach men and women there. It's too big a problem. Too many obstacles. And the Lord would say, child of God, I've given you the victory. Rest and trust in me. By faith, lay hold upon the victory. I trust today that you and I will be encouraged to go through with God. I remember one day in particular, working with people in addiction is never easy. But one day in particular, it was just so tough. And I remember saying to the Lord, and actually talking out loud, it's too hard. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Came the verse. Lord, I haven't got the strength no more. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And every argument that I placed before God, the Lord brought a verse back to remind me, it's not what we do. It's His ability. It's His grace. It's for His glory. I trust we'll be encouraged to go out with confidence, laying hold upon God. Quietly meditating upon the Word of God. That's what the people did. They obeyed the voice of God. We need to obey the voice of God quietly, just to wait upon the Lord and see and experience great victories, great blessings. May we be enabled by God's grace for God's glory. Amen.